Public Broadcasting Network, your program in the zone, host Lieutenant Eric Schein. And we're speaking with Richard Block from the National Mariners Association. And Richard, before the break, though, I want to turn it right back over to you. What was the thought?
Oh, Richard? Well, you're going to have to dig that one up. Let's start with a new one.
Okay.
Tell me what you want to talk about.
Well, we touched a little bit upon, you know, and we bounced around because it's a pretty broad set of topics when you start talking about the Merchant Marine, the Coast Guard, the Navy, maritime, rule of law, due process, the Constitution, all these things that start, you know, coming together at the water's edge. I mean, if you go to Wikipedia, the U.S. Coast Guard page, they're saying that they're an international branch of military with international jurisdiction as a police agency. They're like the Intermarpol or International Maritime Police, but they're doing it as a branch of military. And even the Brits, who we have, you know, issues with from our Revolutionary War and beyond, who we, you know, some would say we're best friends with now, the Brits don't even have a military Coast Guard. They have a civil service Coast Guard. And I contend that's what ours has always been, up and until 2003, when they converted under the cloak of the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, converted the Coast Guard into a special branch of military in Homeland Security and took the training that the Coast Guard personnel go under for the UCMJ and military law in the event that they're moved into the Department of Navy and Department of Defense under a declared war, and all of a sudden flipped a switch and made them a full-time branch of military outside of the Department of Defense. Which, you know, I think from your own experience and what you've seen the Coast Guard doing, and I'm not just talking about the Coast Guard's administrative law court system, but also its dealings with drugs as far as, you know, licensed personnel using or crew having or using drugs or testing positive for alcohol or drugs, the way that they handle this and or pollution, investigations. Oh, you touched upon the Coast Guard in my situation was not only the complainant, the injured party, the United States of America or the Coast Guard, they were the citing and summoning party, same guy too, same individual. He was the investigating party, the prosecuting party, and then the ALJ is a former Coast Guard officer himself and is still getting paid by the Coast Guard. So it's not like even Jack Welch stopped working for GE but still is getting a bunch of perks and pension and more and then becomes a federal district court judge and gets a case before him on General Electric. Here, you know, GE is still paying Jack Welch a salary, and then he's going to sit on a case and decide it, of course, for the Coast Guard, which is a branch of...
Well, I think what you're really getting at here, too, is that... And this was the subject of an article in the Baltimore Sun, which came out in June of 2007 and ended up the next month in a congressional hearing, is that you have practically no chance of ever winning in that court. They've already broken you. They've taken everything that you've owned.
Well,
you are there without an attorney to defend you. And
they're also declaring and trying to prove that I'm medically, mentally incompetent.
Say that again?
They're trying to prove that I'm medically, mentally incompetent. So
yeah,
how can somebody...
I don't really think that they proved it to anybody's satisfaction except their own, and I think they made up their mind before they went in there you were medically incompetent.
If the presumption of innocence...
You have to prove it to me, and you ought to have to prove it to a doctor, but not... not to those people.
Well, and the presumption of innocence is supposed to be there. Why would the Coast Guard, and you've seen the emails on this, why would the Coast Guard contact the Navy after bringing charges against me and move to get me kicked out of the Navy before we'd even had a hearing?
I'm wanting to win the case at any cost because
right.
You have embarrassed them. This is a I believe, a case of personal vindictiveness.
An important part of healing in youth involves your body's ability to create proteins at a rate faster than your body is breaking down. The process of creating proteins is orchestrated by amino acids and repair proteins, both of which become deficient in the typical person's body the older they get, so that by age 40, the rate of repair has declined enough that the effects are very noticeable to most people. Chrysalis is a liquid spray nutritional supplement that supplies the body an essential repair protein. By taking Chrysalis, you can potentially improve your overall rate of repair. This product is reported to have a profound track record of success. People frequently report deeper sleep, more energy, better mood, aches and pains going away, loss of body fat, gray hair reversing, vision improvement, and much more. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Go to learnthesecretstoyouth.com. That's learnthesecretstoyouth.com or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saw Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
All right, 800-313-9443. The key thing that I keep coming back to on all of this is, and we can argue about, you know, Judge or ALJ Denson and ALJ Massey, two women ALJs who had come out, who had been basically run out of the Coast Guard as ALJs, as civilian ALJs, that they reported to Congress in the hearings in 2007 after the Justice Capsized article, I believe, came out. And there's been, you know, scandal after scandal after scandal after scandal. Deepwater, Integrated Coast Guard Systems, Tempest, the 110, 123 boats that they were converting, the Coast Guard's ALJ system, the Coast Guard now saying that it's a branch of military that can regulate and adjudicate civilian affairs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I keep coming back to the one core issue that the Coast Guard is saying that it's a branch of military that can regulate and adjudicate and be involved. And when I say adjudicate, carry on trials for civilians within its own little military courts.
Aren't you glad, Eric, that the Army and the Navy and the Air Force can't do that?
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the whole point. No branch of military is supposed to be able to do this. And I go back to...
All of this goes back to the year 1876 with the Posse Comitatus Act, and this is 10 years after the end of the Civil War.
And there was no Coast Guard.
By that time, the people in the southern states got kind of tired of having the Army run their elections for them.
Right, and be their police agency, their police departments.
Be either one or the other. And, well, and then Congress decided that they were going to separate the two.
Well, and this has come up several times, like even at that point in time, there was other, and ex-party Milligan is another, it's a Supreme Court case precedence involving Lincoln. I believe it was ex-party because it was after his death. And Milligan, which went into a military tribunal, carried on in the Civil War, and the Supreme Court chastised Lincoln and said, look, you know, and this it was also carried out in Reed versus Covert, but much more exhaustively in 1957, saying that in any territory or jurisdiction where we have civilian courts operating, those are the courts that are supposed to be used, and that military tribunals are only supposed to be used in extraordinary circumstances on the battlefield.
Well, certainly, your case certainly wasn't on the battlefield, was it?
No, and the only reason I understand a lot of these issues is because I went to a military academy, naval officer. I'm trained on the UCMJ. I understand the bright line from my training from the Navy, and that I understand what the Coast Guard is doing, and I also understand the you know the claims that the Coast Guard is making. But this doesn't just go to brown water and or deep sea officers and crew, because now, even with what happened with Hazelwood and the National Driver Registry, if you get a speeding ticket in your car, that can affect your right to drive your boat. Or vice versa, if you get a alcohol violation or other violation in your boat, it can affect your driver's license.
It definitely can.
And this is for mom and pop using their little speedboat or their yacht under the American flag, to where now their disputes or grievances or fines or fees or impositions are administered by a branch of military.
Well, my concern is with commercial mariners, mostly lower level. And now my interest in this started, and maybe I better ramble on for a few minutes here.
Sure, go ahead.
Unless we get to the break.
No.
My interest began in 1996 when I spoke with Administrative Law Judge Rosemary Denson. And she revealed how she was being forced out as an administrative law judge by what she called the old boy network, since most of the judges were male judges.
And were old, too.
Well, yeah, they were old. But
I'm just kidding.
And most of them are still old, but not all
right.
of them.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding.
And, now, she was well known on the Western Rivers as being a fair judge, and I was very interested when she told me these things. But I wrote an article about it, and nobody paid much attention to the article. I would say that the first case that I really ran into was the Perryman case in 2000 and 2001. And since then, I've run into a number of cases. I just finished writing a book on this. And, Eric, you are, of course, in the book. You are not the prime feature of the book. I'm afraid to say that you're over there in Chapter 20. But and there are a whole bunch of chapters here. This book was written, and I call it the Coast Guard Justice Handbook, and I put justice in quotation marks, for every working mariner, a guide to the administrative law system. I put out the guidance because nobody else has. There is not a single question on a Coast Guard exam about the administrative law system.
About being a lawyer and being able to defend yourself against a branch of military.
Yeah, well, what you had to do, Eric, was to train yourself to try to become a lawyer, because you had to go up against this system on your own, and you did the best you could. I would never try it. Without a lawyer, you wouldn't stand a chance of winning, and you know that you can't win.
Well, I had legal counsel, but the problem is that my legal counsel came from the people that put me in that court.
All right, and that can't count on that to help you, can you?
Right. So, I mean, the whole system, the whole thing is conflicted from top to bottom, and the agent, the industry, and the shipping companies are using the Coast Guard as a racket and as a insurance, you know, a risk manager, so that any and all problems, like even the Costco Busan or the, even the Exxon Valdez, because the Coast Guard, I'm trying to find here in the, here it is. The United States Coast Guard has a broad and important role in maritime homeland security, maritime law enforcement, search and rescue, marine environmental protection, and the maintenance of river, intercoastal, and offshore aids for navigation. And they also have a couple other sections in here. But you got to remember that this is a branch of military that is saying that it's the first responder in an oil spill. It's a branch of military saying that it's the first responder in an accident. That's like having the Army be the first responder in a car accident on the highway.
Well,
it doesn't make sense.
A great many things, and maybe I should get into this later. The Coast Guard has 11 missions, and these are tracked by the Department of Homeland Security, which is the parent agency.
Right, but the Department of Homeland Security is not the Department of Defense, and the Coast Guard is saying that it's a branch of military in Homeland Security operating under military law.
And they claim to be policemen, too.
Right.
And they very definitely are a police force. And this is what they are. What they're claiming to be are two things, two opposing things. And I think you're right to criticize this. And it's too bad you're the only one that's doing it nowadays.
Yeah, well, I've asked my listeners to get a hold of you and to lend any and all assistance they can, whether it be, small donation, becoming a member. I don't know if people who are not mariners can become members.
They can become supporters if they want.
Great.
And I think the thing that we can do is certainly inform them of what's going on. For instance, this book that we just put together, sure, I will admit that this book was written for every single working mariner out there. I'm talking about not only the 126,000 lower-level mariners that our association is concerned about, but also for the 84,000 upper-level mariners who've never been in trouble before, but all of a sudden they're in trouble. They don't know where it came from, and they don't know what to do about it.
Right, and they're trying to run a lot of people out of the industry.
Yes.
I want to read real quick, because this is important. This goes to the whole, Military Commissions Act and all this other stuff. The National Response Center, operated by the Coast Guard, the National Response Center, NRC, is the sole U.S. government point of contact for reporting environmental spills, contamination, and pollution. So let me be very clear. The Coast Guard, a branch of military, a special branch of military in Homeland Security operating under military law, runs the National Response Center that is the sole U.S. government point of contact for reporting what? Environmental spills, contamination, and pollution. We'll be right back, Richard. We're going to break real quick. This is Republic Broadcasting Network, your program, In the Zone, host Lieutenant Eric Schein with Richard Block, National Mariners Association.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified financial counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialists at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our free dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
I want to be real clear about this. This is In the Zone, Republic Broadcasting Network. We're speaking with Richard Block from the National Mariners Association. This is Lieutenant Eric Schein. I'm bringing up the National Response Center. It's operated by the U.S. Coast Guard, which is a special branch of military operating under military law and Homeland Security. The National Response Center, NRC, is the sole U.S. government point of contact for reporting environmental spills, contamination, and pollution. The primary function of the National Response Center, or NRC, is to serve as the sole national point of contact for reporting all oil, chemical, radiological, biological, and etiological discharges into the environment anywhere in the United States and its territories, in addition to gathering and distributing spill data for federal on-scene coordinators and serving as a communication and operations center for the National Response Team. The NRC maintains agreements with a variety of federal entities to make additional notifications regarding incidents meeting established trigger criteria. The NRC also takes terrorist suspicious activity reports and maritime security breach reports. Details on the NRC organization and specific responsibilities can be found in the National Oil and Hazardous Substances Pollution Contingency Plan. And I make it very clear how this is tied to the Exxon Valdez because of how the Exxon Valdez was handled by the Coast Guard. It was really messed up as far as using dispersants and all sorts of other things. But they're using this branch of military to protect corporate interests anytime there is an incident so that a branch of military is notified and it can go ahead and manage the response like they did for the Costco Busan so that civilians cannot witness, nor assist, nor be involved in the cleanup, so that if it ever makes its way into the courts, there are no witnesses to what happened and you know, the dead birds, oil on the beaches, or anything else. The Coast Guard was very instrumental in keeping civilians away from the Costco Busan, which was the spill of, I think, 55,000, I want to say, gallons of fuel oil up in San Francisco. And they did the same thing in the Mississippi involving the...
Mel Oliver.
Right, the 400,000, I think, gallons or...
It ended up 283,000 gallons of...
So they downgraded it.
Yeah, well, they found one of the tanks had not been breached, but you want to keep civilians away from this as much as possible, and most of them want to stay away from it if they can.
Well, no, but it's civilians who respond, whether it's be the fire department, tugs, barges, whatever. You've got a branch of military sequestering the incident scene, just like they did on 9/11, to where first responders who are civilians like firemen, nurses, doctors, even volunteers cannot get to a site. And they're doing this, and this is, you know, my opinion, and a lot of it gets into insurance and more, but it's to protect not the environment, not people, but to protect corporate interests, so that the whatever happened can be blamed on, just like the Costco Busan, the pilot rather than the company. That one individual can take the fall rather than the company being held responsible for what went on, regardless of whether it was the captain or some mechanical failure or anything else.
Eric, I can agree with you on some of the cases that I've seen. For instance, we had a case right here in Houma where a propylene barge hit a lift bridge. The lift bridge closed at 4:30. The federal regulations said that the closing time was from 4:30 to 5:30. The barge hit the bridge at 4:29 because the bridge was already closed. The captain gave 10-minute notice that he was coming and gave the bridge tender time to raise the bridge, but she didn't do it because she didn't think he was going to be there before closing time. But he was, and she didn't pay attention.
That's great.
And the captain got blamed for it, and the bridge tender got off scot-free.
Right.
They had to evacuate downtown here in Houma, move 2,000 people when the propylene, thank God it didn't explode, but it could have. But at the same time, the Coast Guard came in, and they were the ones that stopped the propylene leak. They do a good job, but yes, here we do have, if they claim to be part of the military, we got a military force doing this and ordering people around.
And right below the National Response Center, it has, authority has an armed service. And then right below that, and I'm talking about the Wikipedia page for the U.S. Coast Guard, right below authority as an armed service, it has authority as a law enforcement agency.
Well,
and it says the Coast Guard has law enforcement powers in contrast with the other branches of the United States Armed Forces, which are prevented from acting in a law enforcement capacity by the Posse Comitatus Act and the Department of Defense policy. And it's not policy. U.S. Supreme Court, has ruled on this in Reed versus Covert, ex parte Milligan, Smith, and a bunch of other cases. And also, Congress has passed the Posse Comitatus Act, and they enacted the Uniform Code of Military Justice that incorporated Posse Comitatus and those Supreme Court case precedences. And now, somehow, again, the Coast Guard has its own Uniform Code of Military Justice that isn't anything like the other branches. And this is why, this is what happened right after World War II and why the UCMJ was enacted. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This has been Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
My children were very disrespectful. They were defiant. The results from the total transformation were almost immediate. The children stopped arguing.
Is your child disrespectful and defiant with you about everything? Are they arguing with you constantly and having problems in school? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the total transformation.
They have become very task-oriented at school. They complete their assignments in a timely manner without being asked. I firmly believe it is 100% the total transformation. It truly changed our lives.
Backtalk, lying, even problems with ADD and defiant teens. I'll help you transform the worst behavior problems and get peace and sanity in your home. Guaranteed. Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less and my weekly newsletter free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
All right, we're back. This is Dan Eric Schein, your program In the Zone, host of Republic Broadcasting Network. Speaking with Richard Block from the National Mariners Association. Richard, before I throw it back to you, I want to read this real quick. This is from the Wikipedia on U.S. Coast Guard. Authority is, and this is done by their PR people, this, you know, or people who are trying to pump up this whole stuff with the Coast Guard and its legitimacy as a branch of military that can violate posse comitatus, alter the UCMJ itself, and have its own definition of and interpretation of the UCMJ, where the UCMJ makes it illegal for any branch of military to use a military asset against civilians and is punishable by 2 years in prison and a $10,000 fine for each violation. The Coast Guard has law enforcement powers, in contrast with the other branches of the United States Armed Forces, which are prevented from acting in a law enforcement capacity by the Posse Comitatus Act and Department of Defense policy. 14 U.S.C. subparagraph 89 is the principal source of the Coast Guard's enforcement authority. 14 U.S.C. is not 10 U.S.C. or Title 10, which is where the UCMJ comes from. 14 U.S.C. subparagraph 143 and 19 U.S.C. 1401 empower U.S. Coast Guard active and reserved commissioned officers, warrant officers, and petty officers as federal customs officers. This places them under 19 U.S.C. 159A, which grants custom officers general law enforcement authority, including the authority to, one, carry a firearm, two, execute and serve any order, warrant, subpoena, summons, or other processes issued under the authority of the United States, make an arrest without a warrant for any offense against the United States committed in the officer's presence or for a felony cognizable under the laws of the United States committed outside the officer's presence if the officer has reasonable grounds to believe that the person to be arrested has committed or is committing a felony, and four, perform any other law enforcement duty that the Secretary of Homeland Security may designate. The U.S. Government Accountability Office report to the House of Representatives Committee on the Judiciary on its 2006 survey of the federal, listen to this, federal civilian law enforcement functions and authorities, that means they're civilian, identified the U.S. Coast Guard as one of the 104 federal components employed, which employed law enforcement officers. The report also included a summary table of the authorities of the U.S. Coast Guard's 192 special agents and 3,780 maritime law enforcement boarding officers. Coast Guardsmen have the legal authority to carry their, this is very important as well, Coast Guardsmen have the legal authority to carry their service-issued firearms on and off the base. No other branch of military can do that. Carry their service-issued firearms on and off the base, thus giving them greater flexibility when being called to service. And I've called them the brown shirts. I mean, because the way it's set up, they could be flip could be switched, or a switch could be flipped, sorry. And all of a sudden, these guys are responding off of their quote-unquote military bases with arms, and no other branch of military can do this. This is not always done in practice. However, at many Coast Guard stations, commanders prefer to have all service-issued weapons in armories. Still, one court has held that the Coast Guard boarding officers are qualified law enforcement officers authorized to carry personal firearms off-duty for self-defense. As members of military service, Coast Guardsmen on active and reserve service are subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice and receive the same pay and allowances as members of the same pay grades in the other uniformed services. What they've done is taken the concept of a uniformed service, an armed service, gathered those two qualifiers together and equated them to be a branch of military. There are many armed services and many uniformed services that are not branches of the military. The only time the Coast Guard was supposed to come under the UCMJ was when it was moved into the Department of Defense under the Navy. And now they're operating in Homeland Security under military law. So, Richard, I want to throw it back to you. It's all yours, whatever you want to talk about. If you think you can motivate the people out there, the listeners, and get them off their lily-white asses, excuse my French.
Can I do that in all of two minutes, Eric?
I'm talking about the donkeys that they're riding on, not anything else.
Let me start off slowly here. The UCMJ, or Uniform Code of Military Justice, yes, I am familiar with that, being a former Army officer, but being out of the Army for 45 years now, I'm a little rusty on it, and especially since it's been changed considerably since I left. And fortunately for our mariners, or maybe it's unfortunate, I don't know, we are not governed by the Uniform Code of Military Justice. We are supposed to be under the administrative law system, not the UCMJ.
Well, actually, we're supposed to be under federal district courts.
Right. Let me keep away from federal district court for a minute here.
Well, because admiralty jurisdiction, this goes back to the Constitution, is not supposed to come under administrative law, period. It's not. And the only way that it was supposed to come under the APA was for the Coast Guard, for its own personnel, because after World War II, all other branches of the military came under the UCMJ. They were all in the Department of War that was then converted to the Department of Defense. And the Coast Guard, since it had played games before the war and trying to play games with military law, that's one reason why they passed the Uniform Code of Military Justice, to make it the same for all branches and only to apply to those men and women in that uniform, so that only the Navy would take care of the Navy, the Marines would take care of the Marines, Army would take care of the Army, and the Coast Guard came under the Administrative Procedure Act for its own personnel that was civil service law. And what they've done is they've tried to take the Merchant Marine, and since no one else was doing this, they have, and they've even said this in my own transcripts, they took it upon themselves to start doing this.
Oh, well, I'm glad you mentioned that. And this is something that you really need to get into in more detail. And I'll tell you why. Do I have the time?
Yeah, go ahead. It's all yours.
Okay. Now, as far as I'm concerned, right now, our mariners need to know that no matter what the background of it is here, that they are under administrative law. That is how they're being treated.
But it's administrative law that's administered by a branch of military. That
yeah,
comes under-
yeah, I agree with you. I agree right. with you. But it is administrative law. And where does the average mariner learn about this? Well, he's not going to learn about it before he gets his license because there are no exam questions on it.
Right, it's not on the
he's
going to
learn the hard way afterwards. Now, where do you find administrative law? Well, you find it in the Code of Federal Regulations, which the Code of Federal Regulations is authorized by the United States Code. In other words, it is written by an executive branch agency.
Five USC was passed by Congress. The APA was passed by Congress in 47.
Right. Yeah. Right. No question about that either.
But it was. But if you go back to the law itself and read it, it was passed for all those civilians who would accompany the military or work in federal service, and eventually the states took on same or similar law to where they would not be treated under the UCMJ or under military law or under the same codes of conduct as the uniformed personnel. They had a separate code, which was the Administrative Procedure Act. And that's one of the reasons why the Coast Guard came under it, because they were not a legitimate branch of military. And all of this was heard before Congress in testimony by the Coast Guard, where the Coast Guard admitted in 1946 in front of Congress that they're not a branch of military.
Yeah, but now they've suddenly become one. And this is
right.
One of the points that you need to make here is that how did this happen? When
exactly.
did it happen?
Well, they've laid claim even under the Shipping Commissioners Act, and this is where they say that they get their original jurisdiction, is that they took on the duties or started to house the shipping commissioners when the Coast Guard was formed in the customs houses and other places, to where these shipping commissioners, who were true judicial officers of the Article III branch of government, were then taken on and in by the Coast Guard and then eventually replaced with Coast Guard personnel.
Right.
So that these shipping commissioners who were there to protect the mariners eventually became used to target and attack and prosecute the mariners.
Right, and the shipping commissioners went out of existence in 1980 with the Reagan administration.
Right, and there's NAVIX, Navigation Vessel Inspection Circulars, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, but
Where the Coast Guard took away the authority from itself, gave it back to the ship's captain, the shipping commissioner was actually created to protect federal maritime officers and crew from the captain and the shipping companies, and instead that authority was given back to the shipping companies.
Right. It was convenient for the government to do it, and that's what they did.
Yeah, and that's where the Coast Guard had it taken away from it several times, if not numerous times, but then eventually it ended up back in the hands of the people that it was created to protect people from. So
well,
it looks like
there's a good possibility it might be taken away from the Coast Guard again, and
well,
it may be cases like yours that cause it to be taken away.
Well, I would hope so, because I think you understand my case. When you prosecute, I mean, how hard is it to prove somebody medically, mentally incompetent, especially for a branch of military? If a branch of military cannot do it in 6 years, A, that branch of military is either incompetent or there's something else going on.
Yeah, Eric, but you're only chapter 20 in my book. There have been a lot of others that have had many things like that happen, but you're one of the worst cases here.
Right. Well, but there's like even Dresser is pretty bad, because if you think about it,
Dresser hasn't had a license for 11 years. And this is what came out in the Baltimore Sun. This
right.
is what made Congress take a real close look at this 2 years ago, and they're still looking.
Well, think about the expense with the Christopher Dresser case, and he's been blocked from even getting into federal district court and circuit appellate pretty much. You know, they basically told him to go back and start over again now. This was for failing a drug test that supposedly said that he passed or was found positive for marijuana. But at some point, you know, and the case goes into where, you know, he was taking supplements, which were.
He didn't take marijuana. He took hemp oil supplement, which was not banned.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. He took hemp seed oil, which was not marijuana, but he tested positive because the test does not differentiate between the hemp seed oil, which is a natural supplement, and marijuana.
And after that happened, then the Coast Guard decided that they wanted to make the use of hemp seed oil illegal after the fact.
Right, right.
And for 11 years, this man has been denied his license.
Right, and instead of coming up with a remedy, remember, these are supposed to be remedial proceedings, and saying, look, we don't know if it was positive or negative. Let's go. What can we do to make it up to you, get you back to work? And from now on, if we get a test positive, this is what we'll do. We'll request a hair follicle because, you know, THC shows up in hair up to 2 years later.
Right. They destroyed his life like they destroyed yours, Eric.
Right. And did it so intentionally.
They're continuing to do it intentionally. I want to see them look at everything that you asked them to look at.
Well, but
they haven't paid a bit of attention to you.
But this is a branch of military through military tribunals adjudicating and making civilian laws. The stuff with the THC and Dresser, the Coast Guard has made administrative law as a branch of military.
Now, I'm going to quote you here, Eric. I hear complacency and acceptance and no one addressing the larger and more obvious problem in having any portion of a branch of military involved in civilian affairs.
Yeah.
And I view that as a good historic approach to this whole thing.
And that is, I mean, if you look at, that is so un-American. That is such in violation of, not only, because a branch of military, look, if a branch of military charges one of its own, they are presumed innocent. They continue to get paid. They continue to get legal aid. They get their own JAG counsel. They continue to get medical benefits, housing, food, and more. But what they're doing, that's for military personnel in the Coast Guard. But then when a civilian comes under this military tribunal system, they are deprived of all of that.
You live out on the street and you arrange for your own legal defense. You train yourself to be a lawyer and good luck because you're not going to win in the courtroom that they provided for you. Sorry, Eric, you lose.
Right. And you cannot, if you're lucky, because it took me 6 years to fight my way into a hearing. And it wasn't even a hearing. It was a 4-day prosecution of me, a trial, a mock trial, where it was a military tribunal, where they had a JAG officer, Christopher Tribole went away to law school as they held on to me and my case so that he could come back and better prosecute the case.
Well, they need to listen to you and they need to do something about what they've done to you here.
Well,
and they have done the same sort of thing to other mariners as well. Quite a few of them.
But talking about listening to, and I'd like to get to that because we're getting towards the end, is you just appeared before Congress, and this was the third time that you've appeared before Congress. And if you could get into that and some of the other appearances in this last segment, it's all yours. You there?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Go for it. We're coming up, and we'll have you'll hear the music come up. As soon as the music starts, we have about 30 seconds, but if you could get into what you did before Congress last week.
I can get into that.
Go ahead.
You want me to speak to it now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Unless you have something else, I mean.
Yeah. Are we on the air?
Yeah, no, we're air.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, tell me when we're on the air.
We're on the air right now. We're
speaking. Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been fortunate in having had an opportunity to appear before a House committee on three occasions. None of these three occasions had to do with the administrative law system. However, I did, and I don't go to Washington that often. It's a 2,200-mile drive round trip. But I did attend, back in 2007, the hearing on...
Richard, hold on the commercial break. We'll be right back after this. Hold this thought, and then you've got the rest of the last segment to go ahead and get into this. We'll come back with about 6-7 minutes. We'll be right back in about 2 minutes.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Hi, this is Tom DeWeese, inviting you to join us for the 10th Annual Freedom 21 National Conference in Oklahoma City, August 13th to 15th. Our keynote speaker is G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island. You will also meet Chuck Baldwin, Gun Owners of America President Larry Pratt, a host of state legislators hot on the heels of the fight to preserve state sovereignty. And you will learn all the details behind the coming international ID and how the MEAC report fits in. Property rights, privacy rights, education, and the assault on natural health care, all will be discussed at Freedom 21. And John Stadmiller of RBN will be helping me co-host the event. You can register for the full conference or for just a day. We also offer a very special student rate. For more information, go to www.freedom21.org or call my office at 540-341-8915. The leaders in the fight to preserve our freedom are gathering in Oklahoma City this summer. I hope you'll join us at the Freedom 21 National Conference.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA, unless you trust the government. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
All right, we're back. And real quick, I'm going to give it back to Richard, but I just want to read this one little thing. On 17 October 2007, the Coast Guard joined with the U.S. Navy and U.S. Marine Corps to adopt a new maritime strategy called a Cooperative Strategy for the 21st Century Sea Power that raised the notion of prevention of war to the same philosophical level as the conduct of war. So now peacetime is wartime. Go ahead, Richard.
Okay, Eric, back in on July 31st of 2007, the House of Representatives held an administrative law hearing, and this was a result of the article in the Baltimore Sun, Justice Capsized, and at that hearing, Judge Massey, who was a former administrative law judge, stated that the chief judge had told her that she was not really a judge, that she was a tool of the Coast Guard, and that she was not expected to rule against the Coast Guard, but if it was impossible to find any way out of ruling against them, then she should do so as diplomatically and as carefully as and as deferentially as possible. And she took great exception to that. She reported it. She had a deposition that came out, was printed in the newspaper, and the congressional hearing centered around that. Things started to fall apart for the Coast Guard administrative law system as a result of that hearing. Congress in the 110th Congress last year started to partially dismantle the ALJ system. They proposed an H.R. 2830 to make some very significant changes. Unfortunately, this was just a bill. It never made it past the Senate because election was coming and they just didn't have time to do it. However, we suspect that Congress is going to take some vigorous action this year. The Department of Homeland Security is investigating this and is supposed to come out with a report later this year. Chris Dresser and Murray Rogers, who are two mariners, have taken the Coast Guard to court in a case in two cases in New Orleans Federal District Court. They have refiled those cases, and in which case they plan to ask for something to be done to not only the Chief Administrative Law Judge and Coast Guard employees who were involved in the cases, but also to the commandant. As I mentioned before, I recently wrote a book on this, the Coast Guard Justice Handbook. I have that book available. Let me give you my phone number. The book sells for $25, and it'll be about $5 to mail it. It's about 129 pages long. My phone number is area code 985-851-2134.
And your website?
Website is info@nationalmariners.org.
Well, that's your email, but yep. What's your website?
Website is
NationalMarinersAssociation.org.
NationalMariners.org.
Okay, right.
No association.
Richard, I thank you, and I ask that you keep fighting and doing what you're doing, and I ask the listeners to get involved and get in contact with you and do anything they can do, even purchasing that book, to help out and get the word out about what's going on.
With recent